Broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Smith Inc's latest webinar and podcast episode. If you are joining us live on the webinar today, you have the opportunity to ask questions throughout the presentation. Just use the Ask a Question function on your GoTo webinar control panel and they will be read out at the end of the presentation. For those that watch the recording or listen to the podcast at a later date, feel free to go to our website, smithinc.com, and contact us directly with any further questions. And now I'd like to hand over to Mark Holton, Smith Inc Director, to present the advisory seven-step system from A to Z. Over to you, Mark.
Well, thanks very much, Andrew, and good afternoon, everybody, or good evening, good morning, good day. That's probably the best way to say it. And welcome to our Smith Inc webinar on the best practice advisory services, or as Andrea said, the seven steps to getting this process moving in your firm. I'm a massive one about creating systems, processes, and people resources correctly to be able to get advisory services happening in the firm. But one of the things I've always believed is the first step, and probably my first tip, is to sit down and work out, number one, what advisory services are we currently offering? Then number two, what ones that we're not currently offering do we think are potentially service opportunities for the future? And I often do this with firms when we do a business advisory implementation planning day or developing a business advisory plan. And that's to do a brainstorm of, okay, well, how much income are we earning at the moment out of advisory? What do we want to earn in the future? What services are we currently doing? Are they commoditized? Are they packaged? What do you charge for them, et cetera, et cetera? I reckon there's five tips alone. You've got to work out, one, what you're doing, two, how much you're going to charge for it, three, whether it exists within a package, and most importantly, four, how do you explain it to a client in a manner they see as beneficial so that they will, in fact, sign your proposal. But I'm also a big believer in looking forward and thinking what will clients want from us in the next 3 years. I think three is probably too long. Maybe I should have said one. In the next 12 months, where's the opportunities? And I believe the opportunities are wide and varied. Things like financial health checks, going through with a client and talking about their reds and greens, their strengths, their weaknesses, business value indications, sitting down with clients and working out, one, what their business is worth today, and two, what they want it to be worth in the future, identifying where and how much the gap is, and then filling that gap through ongoing board of advice meetings, which you can see is number four. But also linking those board of advice meetings into pre-lending assessments, having discussions with clients about, you know, are you looking to borrow money in the future? If so, how much, when, what for? Pretty simple stuff to ask. And then measure their performance against common lending covenants that the banks and lenders are using, and also becoming tougher and tougher out there at the moment. I'm hearing that from everyone. In fact, I had an email come through this morning telling me that four of the big banks in Australia are now no longer lending on self-managed super funds. And I thought, by golly, that's a change in direction. So the market is getting tougher. So pre-lending assessments simply, in my mind, are a very valuable service for a client so that we can get them loan ready. Work with them on their key lending covenants like interest cover, debt service cover, you know, and be able to look at what the banks are looking at, what they are, gap analyze, gap fill, get the loan. Also looking at debtors and creditors. I mean, perennially clients are pretty darn poor at collecting debtors and often pay their creditors far too quick, which means the next one, which is managing cash flow, becomes very, very difficult if the key drivers aren't working properly. And also, if you've got clients that are in retail or service businesses, 90% of their cash flow issues, apart from debtors, okay, maybe not so much in the retail game, but manufacturing, is going to exist around inventory and WIP. So how do we get that stock out the door quicker? How do we get those billings out the door sooner? And what can we do to improve that performance? And then things like measuring performance to KPIs, like lending covenants, liquidity ratios, the old current ratio, the accountant special, and the quick asset ratio, and all those other key ones. Profitability, asset management, and return on investment. Yes, we have to get the clients to think their business is an investment, and they should be getting a commensurate return on that investment as they otherwise would expect when it comes to their share portfolios, manage funds, investment properties, and the like. And also specific measures for the client business. How do you keep things active, interested? How do you get the client on board? And simply make things different. Look to bring in a different measure, a different KPI, each board of advice meeting that you do quarterly. Keep it active, keep it involved, keep it new. I also see massive opportunities around things like business and strategic planning, estate planning, succession planning. Many regional firms are telling me they're doing a fair bit of succession planning with their rural clients. Well, that model that they're operating in needs to operate with all clients, not just the rural guys. You know, three-way cash flows. Banks are starting to get a little bit more particular about lending and providing substantive documentation to be able to support that loan. So cash flows, or action plans as I call them, really need to be a key part of the service offering. And also in certain states of this country, there are more government grants, assistant grants, than anywhere else. You know, I'll cite Queensland and WA as two examples where grants seem to be more abundant than some of the other states. What better way to get your bill covered for your advisory services than to have a matching grant that the government are providing? And there is software out there that will actually analyse and work out which grants suit your client. And more importantly, that three-way cash flow, that three-way budget, okay? Well, shouldn't that then be used as an ongoing performance measurement, an ongoing action plan? And then when we do board of advice meetings, regular reporting of actuals versus budget should become as common as doing a business activity statement, as doing a tax return. In fact, what we've got to do is build the systems, processes, and structure around making this into an ongoing annuity-based service model, just like compliance. Because I think compliance is the beautiful annuity model. We've got to do the same here. And something else I think is a massive opportunity, and that's scenario planning. I think every client thinks, will I or won't I? Should I or shouldn't I? Do I go down that decision pathway or do I not? So whether it's things like price volume sensitivity, margin and profit analysis, working capital management, return on investment, should I or should I not buy a new premise or continue to rent? Should I or should I not introduce new capital equipment? How do I finance it? How do I manage it? Employ a new person, open up a new location, put a new product in place. In fact, I'll go as far as to say that any debit and credit can be done for a client before they make the decision. This is how would you like to see the financial impact of key business decisions before you make it in abundance. That is the model that I spent an awful lot of my time in my practice working with clients on. The old crystal ball. Let's sit down and work out what you're going to do and what it will do to your business before you go and do it. At least that way you can make the decision with knowledge, not through speculation. And guys, there are only some of the things we can start to offer. I love this chart. We did this chart as we did with our ATSA event for the last 4 years. And as you're probably aware, we've no longer doing ATSA. It's been sold. But in 2018, I wonder what this would show. Because when I look at that chart, I look down the bottom and I see cash flow and budgeting is the business advisory service that more firms offer than any other service. But when I look at 2017, and this was done in October last year, when I look at 2017, it's far less than 16 and 15 in the grey and the orange. And when I start to look at the yellow, which is the most recent year, what I'm seeing here is pretty much firms doing less advisory services and offering less services than they were in previous years, which in my mind is concerning. You know, why is this happening? I don't know, maybe because we're lacking time. We're lacking systems, we're lacking processes, we don't have the right people. There's a million and one reasons not to do something. I also think it has an impact with the way software has gone. I mean, now, these days, we buy cloud software. If we're not using it, it's pretty darn easy to turn it off. In the old days, when I was playing around with this stuff, you used to have to buy software up front. You actually got a box, heaven forbid. In that box was a CD, heaven forbid. And you walked away with it and you installed it on your PC. And I tell you what, you didn't generally pay subscription. So the model's changed. I'm not saying that model's better or worse. I'm saying it's different. And I think there's an impact there with firms that are waking up to the fact that they're paying for solutions, but they're not actually getting money in on that investment. And we're seeing less firms offering advisory services than before. As I said, I wonder what 2018 will show us. So what are the seven steps? I've been doing this for a long while, and what I do know is you need a process. My process is called the Enabler System. Step one, you've got to prepare your firm for success. If you don't do that, forget about the rest. If you do that, step two comes into place, and that is unlocking your client needs, finding out inside their head what's important to them. And that's not just financial, it's non-financial. You know, what keeps them awake at night? What are they worried about? What's their key concerns? What causes anxiety in their business life? We've got to get inside their head to be able to create a disturbance in their mind at step three, get a proposal signed, and then start analysing their performance. And once we start to do steps two, three, and four, then steps five, six, and seven, implement and make sure they do what you've sort of suggested that they do, service their additional needs, becomes a real opportunity scope. And then we can move to step seven. And I'll talk about step seven as being the most lucrative step in this process. Because I'll ask you this question. How many guys online today have clients that make dumb decisions and then come to us to ratify the degree of dumbness? Very hard to make money out of saying, correct, you are dumb. What we've got to do is get them to come to us before they make a decision, which is scenario planning, which is how would you like to see the financial impact of key business decisions before they happen. But you know something about five, six, seven? Very, very hard to pull off if two, three, and four aren't done in the first place to get the client on board. And almost impossible to do two, three, and four if your firm ain't prepared for success. So let's look at step one. Why is that a significant issue? Well, one thing firms are telling me is that time is a big deal. Lack of commitment, in my mind, is a bigger one, what I call the two C's. If you don't have commitment, in other words, the drive to do this, and you're going to put the systems, processes, and resources behind it, then it ain't going to work. If capacity is an issue and you do nothing about it apart from saying, I need to fix it, then heaven forbid how anything new is going to work in the firm. It will die on those two alone, but it will cause grief if you don't find the right client to start with. It'll cause grief if you don't look at your clients and say, okay, what are my clients here and which ones do I need to identify to be able to offer advisory services effectively and efficiently? I look at clients and look at A class, and obviously A is better than B and B is better than D, quite simply. I look at A class clients as being the best ones, obviously. What do? They want to grow. They're a good payer. They listen. They offer good revenue. They don't BMW your bill, which is bitch, moan, whinge. They're advice seekers and they're looking for a partnership. The ideal client, but also the most difficult client to work with in the early days of your advisory growth, because there's very little wrong with their businesses. When we put them into whatever diagnostic tool you're going to use, it always comes up green with those clients. I'm not saying they're not the best client to work with. They're just not the best client to start with. I'm going to look for clients that are B class who might be missing one A class behavior. Conceivably, they might have always been a good payer, but over the last 12 months, they're paying you slower. And the reason for that is that people are paying them slower. They're caught in the middle of the cash flow crisis. They need assistance and they're more desperate to get it. The old C class miss many behaviors and the D class are totally opposite of A. And I know I can't see you today, but I'll ask you this question. Do you have any D-class clients in your firm? And if the answer to that is yes, then I'm saying something's got to change. They are the emotional vampires, guys, the ones that will suck your blood all day and never pay for the privilege. And I look at a D-class client as someone that doesn't want to grow, is not a good payer, fail to listen, not real great revenue opportunity. They do BMW your bill. They're that price conscious. They can never see the value in what we do. They don't seek advice because it costs money. And they're not after a partnership. They're just after a punitive, you know, historical backward reporting system to keep the ATO happy. They are not the clients we want to do. And they're the clients that suck the daylights out of your capacity. Something has to change. What else do we need to address? We're going to address a confidence. Many people tell me they're not confident to do this, but there's a level of confidence that you need to get to, but you don't need to be at a point that you know everything that the client's going to ask and have a solution for every possible scenario. That's impossible. You'll never start. You'll be an FTI, a failure to implement. You've got to want to move from the comfort zone, guys. Compliance is pretty darn comfortable. It's pretty profitable. We're all hearing about the downturn of compliance and the future changing. I'm all about future-proofing firms. And one of the things I've got to do with a firm is disturb them a little bit and get them out of that comfort zone. You've got to put the right staff in place and a practice champion. Wrong people, poor results. Right people, great results. Someone needs to champion this, whether it's a partner or a senior or an intermediate. Okay, we've got to scale the system so that the right people do the right job at the right time. We've got to train and develop our key staff. And more importantly, how do you do this without a plan? How do you create where I want to be in the future? What I need to do to change? Accountabilities, measurement points, KPIs, success factors. If you haven't sat down and worked out strategically where you are and what you, where you need to be to in the future. If we don't address those points, guys, believe me, you'll get accelerated growth and that growth will die as quickly as it starts. So, 5 steps to preparing your firm for success. The first thing we need to do is investigate where you are and understand the key issues and barriers to growth. Put them on the table. Let's get them out there. Secondly, set a strategic future strategy to be able to integrate advisory services into your practice with compliance. Not in lieu of compliance at this stage, but next to it, supporting different stages of it. Thirdly, get the right people on the bus. And if they've got capacity issues, fix it, change it, look at a different model. Get your infrastructure right. In other words, what are you offering? How are you going to offer it? What are you going to price it for? How will you package it? Who will do it? And lastly, you've got to have an client engagement and delivery model that is structured and it is scalable and it is nimble to be able to get clients on board. So first of all, let's look at the issues we need to address. We've got to get the right structure. We need the right infrastructure. We need an engagement model and an offer that's going to get clients across the board. And when you've done those three, we need a delivery model. Forget about delivery until you've got signed clients that you put proposals in front of and they've consented to work with you. Otherwise, the cart is well and truly in front of the horse. So what model am I looking at? I'm looking at the trusted advisor model. I'm looking at clients and prospects. Yes, prospects. You should have a prospect database. In fact, some firms I work with have a suspect database. In other words, clients they suspect they'd like to get that they will turn into a prospect and hopefully to a client. And then they go through the family and business office. And what we do is that we project manage everything they need. If we need to bring in external advisors, we do so. If we can internalize the system and the service, we will do so. But then below the line, you know, tax and compliance, consulting, self-managed super fund, financial planning, succession, estate planning, human resources, IT, technology, business coaching, they're all just services. What we need to work out is which ones do we offer internally and which ones do we bring in external advisors to assist, but we project manage it. We are the central point of contact for the client. If we are their trusted advisor, you can't just refer them to external advisors and not follow it through, not have a knowledge what they're going to do and when they're going to do it. Because if that goes astray, the client doesn't blame the external advisor, they blame the person that put them there. We've got to be smarter with that. Step two, with your strategy. Well, we've got to plan a strategy. I believe every firm needs to sit down and do a business advisory implementation plan. We need to look at what systems we have to establish, what accountabilities and measurement points we'll put in there, and you can plan to your blue in the face. At some stage, you've got to take a leap of faith. You've got to start to execute. But you're executing in line with the plan, guys, not executing in line with speculative measures. The plan dictates the execution. People, step three. If you don't create capacity, you can't grow. There's a blinding flash of the obvious. You've got to create capacity not only in your firm, but capacity in your people. if you're going to get different people at different levels in the firm involved in this process, then they have to have the time to do it. And if you haven't got the right people on the bus, then let's find the right people to put on the bus. If they're not internal, we've got to look externally. Whatever it takes, we've got to resource this model properly. Infrastructure, pretty simple. Establish where your gaps are. Ask what can be delivered now. We looked at that earlier. Fill the gaps, whether it's a business value indication, whether it's a pre-lending assessment, whether it's a quarterly board of advice meeting. Remember, you've got to define the gap, measure the gap, fill the gap, and then demonstrate to the client that you've achieved it. Step four, we've got to look to systemize it, not just within the firm, but within our clients' businesses too. And we're going to work out what are you going to charge. Very hard to sell stuff these days if a client says, what does it cost? And we say, I don't know, or I'll get back to you. We have to work out what our cost structures are and then test it. Give it a run. Do a role play internally. Do an ideal consultation internally. Do a needs analysis meeting internally. But eventually, you've got to take a leap of faith. And if we can get that right, then we can really start to engage the client. But if we've got an engagement system, guys, every client needs to go through the same process. It's like onboarding a new compliance client. It goes into job management. It goes into practice management systems. There's an engagement letter. There's a very structured process. We need the same structure here. We need to be able to engage them and have different scalable models that will depend on size and their needs. And if we don't understand what their needs are, very hard to propose to it. And we need to put the process in place and the technology behind it. Not the technology to deliver, the technology to get the trusted advisor model in place, the technology to manage the process, the technology that's needed to work out how to engage the client. Technology is a brilliant thing, but my model's pretty simple, and that is get your system, process, and people right, put the technology in place to get that happening, and then bring, you know, the sophisticated and the fantastic tools that are in the marketplace into play as you enhance the client and develop their skills. So in summary, because I think we're getting up to the half hour point, you've got to investigate where you are and understand the key issues and barriers to growth. You've got to have a strategic strategy of how you take a predominantly compliance firm and make it a compliance plus non-compliance firm. You've got to set financial goals. You've got to break down your income levels, look at what you're achieving and what you want to achieve, and then get the right people in the right roles with capacity to be able to do this. Not forgetting your infrastructure, your offer, your product, the technology required, what you're going to offer, how you're going to price it, will you package it, how will you explain it to a client, and then have a resilient, structured, non-negotiable client engagement and then delivery model that picks up on the proposal and structurally delivers the outcomes to a client in a beneficial manner that they'll see as being critical in their future business growth. That's my model. That's the system. What we need to do is put a starting point. And if you are interested, I'd be more than happy to do a complimentary business advisory assessment with you. Just shoot an email to me at mark.holton@smithinc.com, and we'll organise a time to have a bit of a chat. We'll look at your numbers, we'll talk about industry benchmarking, your risks, your issues, your aspirations, and out of that will come a structured report that I'll provide to you that will look at where you are and where you need to be and how we're going to get there. Anyway, that's a freebie, complimentary I probably should say. If you are interested in starting and working out whether you're ready before we waste money on, you know, complicated systems and software and the like, then I'd be more than happy to help any of the people on the call today. So that's the end of my presentation, Andrea. Is there any questions that anybody has?
Great. Thank you, Mark. I do have a comment here from Lee, which I'll read out in a moment. Just a reminder, if you would like to ask any questions now, just put that into ask a question on your control panel and I can read that out for you. So Leah made a comment earlier in the presentation, Mark. I think the reason there is less planning is that we are too busy trying to keep up with legislation changes and trying not to get our backside sued.
Yeah. Who was that from, Andrea?
Leah? Yes.
I think you're right, Leah. It's true. I mean, you know, the thing that will destroy any model is lack of time. And what I do through this complementary business advisory assessment is to look at where the time's currently going and what we need to do to change it. But the problem that we have in the industry around lack of time, legislation, the changes, and is awfully difficult to interpret, and everything else, I guarantee you one thing, your small business clients have the same issues. Now, they're struggling with time, they're struggling with capacity, they're struggling with getting the right people, and they're struggling to set goals too. So my advice to any firm that's struggling with time is you've got to fix that first. But if you do nothing about it, you'll never start to go down this pathway. And even though we can plan, at some stage you've got to start. You know, my advice to any firm when it comes to advisory is pick three clients, just three, and do it in order. So work out who's number one, two, and three, just three. And start to look at introducing what we're looking to do in a very structured process to number one and see how it goes. I mean, the beauty that I can offer you is that when I started 20 years ago, look, I had no idea what I was doing, but I just sat down, had a discussion with clients and, you know, showed them a couple of things and I got a great reaction. So, but they're short on time, and I know our industry is short on time because I've been in it for 35 years. But at some stage, we've got to start to strategically think about what we need to do in the future, particularly if the compliance model starts to slightly diminish and the fees that we're generating get a little bit tougher to get. Any other questions, Andrea?
No, that's it for now, Mark. I think you've answered everybody's questions. That's great.
Well, guys, thank you for attending today. If you are interested in having a chat, and that's nothing more than a chat, let me know. Just shoot me an email. And thank you very much for being online, and good luck with your advisory services. But remember that seven-step process. We've got to have the process. You know, compliance accountants love systems, processes, and structure. We've got to build that same model with advisory to get success.
Great. Thanks, Mark, and thanks, everybody, for attending.